Anybody else before we get started? God bless you, Grace. Bless your heart. Appreciate our young people. I don't know. Anybody else? I started to go ahead and start, but I don't want to rush this. We'll work the spirit. That's what's wrong now. We've worked the spirit out of everything. Anybody else before we begin? Well, I love him today. He's been so good to me and blessed me so much. I'm going to try to, I think really what I'm going to do is teach you a lesson this morning. Try to. I was telling in the prior yesterday prior, I really feel like a total failure in so many ways in this thing of serving the Lord. And I have to run to keep up with folks walking most of the time, spiritually speaking. And I understand that. I know my limit. I know to some degree my limitations. And so I'm going to try to preach to you today out of Ephesians chapter 1. Very difficult. To me, it's a difficult passage in so many ways. And any time you're trying to preach a spiritual side to matters, it can be a little more difficult. You would have thought that Jesus would have said, "Before Abraham was, I was." You would have thought that. But he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that's a hard concept for us to grasp because it's spiritual. And I think the Lord, He sees everything in the present tense. It's just one big happening to Him. It's not a past. It's just there. And that's a hard thing to grasp. And we've been teaching in the prison some, and I'll just read this. Maybe it'd be a good introduction. We was talking about this thing of rightly dividing the word of truth. And I think sometimes I think that people get confused. We'll say this, God loves you. And then we'll say this, God's a God of judgment. He's a God of wrath. And we don't rightly divide those two, and He's both, if I could say it that way. And we'll say, you need to do this and you need to do that. And then we'll say this, you can't do anything unless God does it. And maybe that gets folks confused. But I think what we've got to keep in mind, and especially, like I said this morning, as we progress towards the last days and evil men, seducers, wax worse and worse. By the way, that little challenge to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That comes just before the last days, the perilous times. That comes just before that crowd that's ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That comes just before that having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That comes just before, that's just one chapter before we read about evil men, the seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so we understand those are the days we're in, and it's very important to separate the physical from the spiritual. And I've seen a lot of folk, and I'm convinced that that's where a lot of false doctrine comes from. We try to put the physical with the spiritual, and we try to put the spiritual scriptures with physical concepts, and vice versa. We mix that up, and let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me just give you an idea. I just want us to maybe just take your time this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. And I know some of this may be elementary to some of you all, but just bear with me a little bit on this. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22, "For as in Adam all die." For as in Adam all die. But then I want to read you a verse in John chapter 11, verse number 26. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Now wait a minute. Over here it said all die. Over here it says you, those that believe in Christ will never die. Well, do all die or are there some that never die? Well, can I say they're both true. One is spiritual and one is physical. There's a physical aspect to man and there's a spiritual aspect. And sometimes the Bible's dealing with our physical side and sometimes it's dealing with our spiritual side. And you have to understand that. I want to ask you about this book I hold in my hand. Is it physical or spiritual? I mean, there it is. You can touch it and feel it. One day it's going to wear out. Is it physical or spiritual? It's both. The Word of God, we have a physical book, but there's a spiritual side to it. Psalms 12 and 7, is that where that's at, where it abides forever? Let me get over there and read that to you. "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So within the covers of this book, we know there's a spiritual aspect to it. We know that. We know it's preserved and inspired. We know it's a living book. And the Bible teaches us, but I've got a physical book right here. So this book's both physical and spiritual. I'm convinced the church is both physical and spiritual. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, there's a lot of churches that the gates of hell did prevail against it. It shut down. The devil got in it and wrecked it and they closed the doors. That's the physical. But can I tell you, there's a spiritual church that'll never be done away with. Never be done away with. And so, what I want you to understand, there's a physical and a spiritual side to this thing that we're in. And we need to understand that. And that's what we're, as we come to Ephesians, the thing I'm trying to get across to you, we're looking at some spiritual things. We're looking at the spiritual side. And I feel very inadequate to stand up here and talk to you, but on the spiritual, some of these spiritual things, but we need to understand that not only are we just considering the physical, but the spiritual. And you are a physical being, but you're a spiritual being. Now, I've not really given you anything you don't know at this point, but let's read and then we'll pray real quick again and then I'm gonna give you what I've got this morning, maybe get started. I'll start in verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now we're gonna see in this that in the next, down through verse 14, you're going to see the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. They're all right there together. The last part, verse 14, verse 13, I believe it is, we're talking about the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, the earnest of our inheritance. And we see the Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That's verse number 7. But here we start out, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." according to, and that's a colon, not the end of the sentence. We won't have the end of the sentence to verse 14. Verses 3 through 14, if I'm not mistaken, is one sentence. And it says this, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. I'm going to teach a little lesson on Calvinism one of these days. It's kind of been bearing on me. But it's not sons predestinated go to heaven, sons predestinated go to hell. That's just not so. That's false doctrine. It's damnable heresy. That's how I feel about it. It hinders evangelistic spirit. I'll never forget when I was a boy, and I'm just going to take my time this morning to talk to you. I was a boy, and me and my dad was out visiting on a Saturday, pastor a little church up above Sunbright, Tennessee, and we come up to a fella, and I could still remember his last name. Not his first, but his last. He was sitting on the back porch, and my dad was talking to him, and about being saved, and he said this, well, if it's meant to be, it's going to be. That's what he said to me. And he was, maybe I ought not say this, since I might as well say it, you know, he had some primitive Baptist background in him, and he thought, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I don't have to worry about nothing. Can I tell you, thinking like that will send you to hell. Amen. It'll send you to hell. And that's not at all what this is talking about when we read that. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us. There's another big word. By the way, predestination is for the believer, not for the sinner. It's for the believer. We're predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. And one of these days that's going to be consummated when we see Him coming and we see Him, we'll be like Him, for we're going to see Him as He is. That's going to be complete right then. That's right. We're predestinated. I'm persuaded He's able to finish the work He started in your all's lives if you're a believer. You say, well, it's struggling. He's going the wrong way. One of these days He won't. One of these days He's going to be changed into the image of Christ and be with Him throughout the ceaseless ages. Well, anyway, let's read on. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the breath, in the blood. And that's the phrase that the Holy Spirit really used to jump out at me when I was reading this. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. We all want to be accepted, don't we? We want to be accepted. High school students will do great. They'll go to great lengths to be accepted. Whatever they have to do to be accepted by their peers or their friends, that's what they'll do. However they have to dress, they'll dye their hair red or yellow, blue. Whatever they have to do to be accepted, because deep in their soul, there's a need to be accepted. But can I tell you, I'm accepted by God. And I start thinking about that. The Bible says, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. I've sinned, come short of the glory of God. There's none good. I'm not good. There's none that seeketh after God. Within myself, I seeketh after God. I can say like the Apostle Paul, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I can say all those things, but I'm accepted by the holiest of God. Oh, praise His sweet name. I'm accepted in the blood. Well, glory to God. I'm accepted. As little and as nobody and as nothing that I am, I'm accepted in the blood. Verse number 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Here's the word again, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Don't you love that? I love the fact that I'm sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Brother Allen, I love it. I just love it. I'm sealed. My, that goes along. We'll get there in a minute. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Dear Lord, help us this morning. I'm nothing, I'm nobody. And Lord, I'll struggle trying to get these little truths across unless You help me. Help us now. Be glorified, be honored, be uplifted. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, I want to go back and just kindly work our way through. Paul begins in verse 3 to bless the Father. He blesses the Father. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, I just want to pick out a few little truths this morning out of this verse. Number one, it's God that blesses spiritually. You say, boy, that's really something to say to us. We know that. It's only God that blesses spiritually. Your blessings come from God. Your spiritual blessings come from Him. He's the source, the spring, the fountain. He's the origination of all spiritual blessings, and if you have any spiritual blessings, be assured they come from Him. And I know you think, well, I know that, but I want you to notice what it says, who hath blessed us. Is that past tense or present tense or future tense? He hath went to town. He hath done that. That's past tense. You know that. He hath blessed us with, what's the next word? All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, the source of our blessings is God the Father. And I won't just stop and say this. There's no spiritual blessings in church membership. There's no spiritual blessings in Mohammed. There's no spiritual blessings in Buddha. There's no spiritual blessings in the Baptist denomination. There's no spiritual blessings in the sacraments or men who have been elevated to positions of religious authority. Our blessings only come from God and God Himself. And He has blessed us. We're in the past tense there. And I want to focus on us. Who is us? Has blessed us. Has blessed us. Notice the way it reads. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, where at? In heavenly places, in Christ. In Christ. And I want to just dwell for a few minutes on this thing of in Christ. We spiritually are in Christ. If you're saved, there is a part of you or the spiritual side of you is in Christ. Let's read some scripture. I want you to turn with me. Romans 8 and 1. The Bible says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Which are where? In Christ Jesus. If you're saved this morning, you're in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Now, physically, you could be in a state of disobedience and be under the chastening hand of God and be under the judgment of God. But on the spiritual side, you're standing, you're in Christ Jesus, and there's no condemnation on your life. Amen. And my, we need that sometimes when the devil beats us up and whips on us, and we've made a mess out of things, and God's forgiven us, and we feel like a total failure. It's good to know there's part of us that there's no condemnation in. Oh my, there's no condemnation. Let's look in 8 and 39, and it says this. Nor height, and you know the passage. We probably ought to read it all, but I'm not going to. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is, here it is again, in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have the love of God. And there's not anything that can separate you from that. Now, how a man could read that and still believe you could lose your salvation, I do not understand. I do not understand. But the fact that the truth I'm trying to get across to you is this, that you are in Christ Jesus. Positionally, you're standing. Your position as a believer is in Christ. Let's look in Romans chapter 12 and verse number, we'll read 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We're in Christ. In fact, we're members of His body. Let's go on and look at a few more for Romans chapter 16. I want you to look at verse number 7. We're going to come back to some of these in a minute. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Now listen what this says. Who also were in Christ. Now what does it say? Before me. Paul said, you salute these kinsmen of mine and my fellow prisoners. They were in Christ before me. Well, that attacks a lot of false doctrine, doesn't it? Well, you're looking at me funny. Hey, some get in Christ before you. Some was in Christ before you. You were. What does that do? What does that do to the Calvinist? Well, he better go back to the drawing board, as far as I'm concerned. Well, you can't resist the irresistible grace. Was it Peter said, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you? And I say to you, you can resist the Holy Ghost. People do it and die and go to hell. Believers do it and die or live defeated, worthless lives for the glory of God. You can resist the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches that plainly. You can grieve Him. You can quench Him. You can do despite to Him. You can blaspheme Him as a sinner can anyway. My, there's sins. You can lie to the Holy Ghost. Ananias and Sapphira did. You can resist the Holy Ghost. That's the most foolish thing I've ever heard. That's foolishness. Friend, I'm telling you, you can resist or yield to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Well, not too popular, but it's true. Chapter 15 and verse 18. For I will not dare to speak of any of the things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient. Well, that's the wrong. Let me get another. Let's look in 22. I'm in the wrong place here. Let me jump over to, bear with me just a minute, 2 Corinthians 1. Let's go there first. Now he which establishes us with you, what? In Christ. And hath anointed us is God. Let's back up. Let me just cut to the chase. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When is it we're placed in Christ? When does that happen? Can I say it's at the new birth? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's a spiritual baptism by the Holy Spirit. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit. Now, before we even get to our little message today, I want you to understand you're in Christ. Let me give you a couple of more of these. John 17 and 20. And what am I talking about? Am I talking about the physical man or the spiritual man? We're talking about the spiritual man. You have to understand that. There's a spiritual side. There's a physical side. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That they may be one in us. The oneness comes in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me hurry and get off this little truth here. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body, and one Spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I understand, I understand there's multiple baptisms, but when it comes to the spiritual side, there's one spiritual baptism by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. That's what protects and seals and keeps you being what you ought to be for the glory of God. Talking about the spiritual man. I'm not talking about the physical man. And so let's go back to Ephesians chapter number 1. And we have this in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now you do know you're seated in the heavenlies. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. Let's look in verse number 5 as well. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now if we're in Christ, and Christ is at the right hand of the Father, then we're in heavenly places. Spiritually speaking. Not physically. Physically, you're right here. You understand that. And so here's what he's saying. Here's what Paul's saying. He blesses God in verse number 3. He blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, a blessing is this. It's a benefit. It's a benefit. It's an enlargement. It's a matter of bounty. Now, we could maybe use the word gifts. But some gifts doesn't enlarge us. Some gifts hurt us. Some gifts, somebody gives you a sickness. That's not a blessing. But here's what he's saying. He's saying our blessings come as we're positioned in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Him, you're without spiritual blessings. And now He's going to begin to mention some of these blessings. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, I'm convinced that what the Scripture is teaching, we know that Paul had kinfolk who were in Christ before him. I read that to you in Romans 16. Well, it says here we've been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Hey, here's what I'm trying to say. That plan was set up. There was a plan made that we would be those who would get in Christ would be the chosen or the elect of God. That's all it's saying. It's letting you know that this thing didn't slip up on God by accident. He knew what was going to happen, and He set up a plan that if we'd get in Christ, we'd be accepted by Him. Amen. Now, who's God's chosen? Who's God's elect physical people? Israel. You agree with that? How does an individual get to be one of God's elect physical people? Has to be born into it, doesn't he? Once he's born, once he's there, when he's born, he's automatically elected. He's a Jew. He's one of the he has the promises of the Jewish people. And so is it spiritually. We're born again. And when we're born again, we are the elect. My, don't let the Calvinist scare you away from enjoying that. Aren't you glad that God chose us in Christ? What if He had chose to choose us or elect us by our good works? What before the foundation of the world, he said this, if you can generate $100,000 and give it to my church, you're elected. You're chosen. That's all elect means, chosen. Well, that's what we do at the in the political process. We elect, we choose somebody. But here was his plan for the found that if we can get in him, we're chosen. We can get in him. Dear sinner, you're going to heaven. You're going to have to get in Christ. I have to get in him. And so we see, and I've got a whole slew of scriptures there, but I want us to talk about some things that we are because we're in him, some blessings that we have. In the latter part of verse number 4, that we should be holy. And I want to say I'm looking at a whole room full of struggling people. I know that. I think I know that. I suspect your struggle spiritually. I suspect you would not want your past 100 sins flashed up on this wall right here. If I was guessing that, you wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want this, even this little old crowd. You wouldn't want your last 100 sins to be flashed up on that. We're talking physically. And I understand, but can I tell you positionally, you're standing, you have the imputed righteousness of Christ. I mean, you're perfect. Well, let's go to Romans 4 and let me show you that. Romans chapter 4. And you have this holiness, you have this righteousness because you're in Christ. What is the song? Of course, Ted sings, before he sees me, he sees the Lamb. That's what it is. They're talking about spiritually. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 4. And let's just begin reading in verse number 1. And I really don't want to get in a big hurry this morning because I want you to understand these. What shall we say then that our father Abraham is pertaining to the flesh have failed? For if Abraham were justified by works, yes, we're of the glory, but not before God. And what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. His faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. You all know it, but let me tell you again, that word impute, it's a bookkeeping term. It means charge to the account of. Put it on the ledgers. Mark it up this way. And here's what it says, when we put faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're born again and baptized into His body, we're made holy. That righteousness of Christ is charged to our account. Amen. One sense of the word, you're pure, perfect, holy, sinless as the Lord Himself is. You're looking at me odd. I'm talking about the spiritual man. He's perfect. And my, there ought to be some sort of rejoicing in that. We struggle so, but there's a part of us that's just as perfect can be. Verse number 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord... Now listen what it says. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Listen what he's saying. Blessed is the man who God won't charge sin to his account. Now we know we reap what we sow. We know there's chastisement on the physical side of this thing. But can I tell you, there's a spiritual side that God does not charge sin to. Really, he couldn't because he's in Christ. And to charge sin to him, you'd be putting sin in Christ. Spiritually speaking. I hope somebody's getting what I'm saying this morning. I hope you understand we're secure. I'm telling you, we're secure as God is powerful today. Well, hallelujah. I'm thankful for that. All up and down these roads, there's people going in churches trying to work it up, trying to keep it up, afraid they're losing something. My, if they've truly been saved, they're in Christ, and sin will not be imputed to that spiritual man. He's as righteous and holy as the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, because we have His righteousness. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'll give you the scripture for it. In 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous. Now, I read it wrong to make a point. That we might be made the righteousness of a godly man. What kind of righteousness are we made? The righteousness of who? God, whereat? In Him. In Him. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. You have the righteousness of God. That is a spiritual blessing from the Father to all of us who are in Him today. And my, we're talking. I understand. You say, boy, I'm wrestling with sin. I understand that. Well, on the spiritual side this morning. The spiritual side. So first we see in our text, we see that we should be holy and without blame. We're blameless today. No one can place blame to your spiritual man. No one can. No one can accuse you spiritually to the spirit. And I understand men fall, men sin, men do all those things. But what I'm trying to get across to you this morning, there's a side to this thing where we're victors. We're victorious. We're on the winning side. We've been given by God His righteousness. Can you think about a holy God that would give creatures like us His righteousness? Man, that's something if you just stop and think about it. And then knowing after we're saved on the physical side, we're going to struggle and fail and sin and come up short. But He still has us positioned in Christ. And in Christ, we're made perfect. We're given God's righteousness. We're as holy as we'll ever be. And sin will never touch us there. Amen. Well, I'm down on blame, and I've got the verse that I've already read, and it says, Romans 8:1, there's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Can't blame me with anything in Christ. Not one thing. And my, that's a blessing to me. So we see holiness and blamelessness. And notice where we're at before Him. And it's in love. You see, me and the Lord, we're in a loving relationship in my standing. We're a loving relationship. I'm in His Son. And He loves His Son. And He loves me. Maybe one of the missionaries said that this week. He loves me as much as He loves His Son. You say, that just can't be. It is so. We're in Him today. And so, what I'm trying to get you to see is some blessings we have from God. We have a holiness. We have a blamelessness. We have a relationship of love. In love. Isn't it good to know that God loves us today? He loves us. Oh my. Let's go on in verse number 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. And my, I could really read you some more, but let me just tell you about adoption. It really refers to maturity. It refers to maturity. And we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. One day, if you truly say, you're going to be like Jesus. I don't care how struggling you are, how big a fault, how many fails, one of these days you're going to be like Jesus. Because that's one of the blessings that we have in Him. Unto the adoption of sons. It's predestination and adoption. That's for believers. And it speaks, being confident, Philippians 1 and 6, being confident this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Going to perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Oh my. Romans 8 and 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. We have the adoption of children as a blessing. And my, we could read on. We have acceptance. In verse number 6, I'm just going to go through these quickly. What I really want you to understand spiritually, you're in Christ. And you have all these, not because of who you are, what you do, and your consecration to God, but because of your standing in Christ. In verse number 6, we have acceptance. We have acceptance. In verse number 7, we have redemption. Redemption, ransom in full. Aren't you glad you've been set free from sin? Aren't you glad you've been set free from the law of sin and death? You know what the law of sin and death is? It says if you sin, you die. The wages of sin is death. I'm so thankful I've been set free from that. I'm thankful for that. Romans 8 and 1. Verse number 7, not only do we have redemption, but we have forgiveness. He's forgiven us. Remember all those things you did when you was unsaved? All them sins, even sin, you have forgiveness in Him. Forgiveness. There's forgiveness. Verses 8 and 9, we have wisdom and prudence and revelation. He teaches us in Him. In Him we have those things. And in verse number 11, we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Can I tell you, in Christ, you have an inheritance. You're an heir and a joint heir with Him. If children, then heirs, heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Oh my, we have an inheritance. You say, well, we don't have much here. Well, we're waiting on ours. I thought about Brother Burns who lives up there, Brother Bud, and just a little side of the road in that little, nothing wrong with the house, but it wasn't a rich man's house by any means, but he's walking on streets of gold today. My, we have that same thing in Christ. And then we have an eternal purpose. If you look in verse 12, we're going to be to the praise of His glory. You know what I really think is going to be in eternity? I believe there's going to be folks that look on the redeemed and they start praising God for His glory. Look what a great God, look what He did with that right there. I believe we're going to be the objects that generate praise throughout eternity to His great glory. Oh my. Oh my, we have an eternal purpose. Then in verse 13 and 14, we're sealed. We're sealed until I'll just say it this way, until the day of redemption. We're sealed. I'm going to tell you, the devil couldn't get you if he wanted to today, if you truly say. He couldn't. I know folks don't like it, and they get angry when they hear you say it, and they think you're trying to be cocky, but the devil couldn't get me. Brother Bud, he can afflict me and he can give me a hard time, but he cannot get that soul. That spiritual man's as safe can be today. And sometimes when the winds are blowing and the clouds are hanging low, I have to back up and forget about my state, but look at my standing and where I'm at. I'm secure in Him. Hallelujah for that. I'm glad I've got the seal. You've all heard the story. The king would put the signet, he'd seal that little document in wax with his ring. And if anybody opened that document that had the king's seal there, and it'd say, "Death, I'll deal with you if you touch this document." And I think that's what the Holy Spirit, I think that's what He is for us. I believe that today. I suspect these times the devil or his little armies come by to do me wrong, and the Holy Spirit says, "Hey, He's sealed. You don't have to go on or answer to the Lord for it." I'm glad I'm sealed today by the Holy Spirit. It's just the down payment on my inheritance. Sometimes we'll have a good service and you just think, "Man, I couldn't take much more than that." But man, that's just a little part of what we've got a whole lot of waiting on us one of these days. And here's what I'm saying to you, church. All those things that we have, I understand you can't. Well, John said it yesterday in the prayer breakfast. You can't touch on spiritual matters with human language and do it justice. You just can't do it. There's some things that when you said all you can say about it, you walk away and you say, "This, I hadn't even scratched the surface. I hadn't even touched it. I hadn't even fathomed. I hadn't even gone past first base on those truths." But I just want you to understand we have some things in Christ. And it's all because God chose to do one thing, and that's just to bless us. Just His grace, His undeserved, unearned, merciful grace. He gave us all those things in Christ Jesus. What a good God we have. What a good God we have. And I know many times I preach to the flesh because that's what we wrestle with. We don't wrestle spiritually. I don't have to worry about your spiritual man. He's what he's right where he ought to be and ought to be and will be. But it's the physical we wrestle with. But as we deal and wrestle and suffer failures and setbacks and disappointments, keep in mind we have a position. We have a standing in Him. And in Him we have it all. We have everything. That's my little message this morning. Brother Allen, I'd like to have just a verse of a song. I don't know that God spoke to anybody this morning. Maybe you come in here and you're just heavy hearted and nothing to do with the message. You just feel like you need to pray. We want to give you a chance to be obedient today. Brother Allen, if you would, bow your heads just a minute. Brother Allen, if you would, you sing to us when you get ready. And if anybody needs to obey, Spirit of God, you do not believe. Thank you, Brother Allen. All hearts and minds clear tonight, today. Let's stand to our feet then. We'll ask Brother Randall, if you would you care to dismiss us in a word of prayer?